Well, I want to, first of all, thank everyone for the positive response that I got from last week's message. And it was so encouraging and inspiring, and not everybody was happy with me. There were a few people that got out with me over some political issues. But, man, I've discovered in this hour a lot of people have drank the political Kool-Aid, man, and you just can't say anything. If you disagree or you try to share what God says versus what man says, there's just this clash now that's going on. And I stand amazed at how a believer, a Christian, could put so much faith in the word of a man, put so much of their lives and their children and grandchildren's lives in the hand of a man or in the hand of a government, and they'll believe what an anchor says on the 6 o'clock news and just put all this faith in what they tell us. But I come along, try to tell you what God said to you, what God's word says, and we don't put any confidence or faith in God's word. Boy, that has to change if you're going to grow up, if you're going to mature. Amen. We're all going to have to believe what God says above what any man says, any government says, any preacher says, or anyone else, our family included. And that's not to put preachers down or our family down or our government down. It is to lift God up. I'm really not knocking anybody down. I'm just lifting Jesus so high up, everything else gets knocked down. Amen. Jesus is Lord, and if I'm going to mature, if I'm going to grow, if you're going to mature and you're going to grow, then you're going to have to put your confidence in the Word of God. Well, that leads me back to our growth track, our spiritual growth track, and how that God put the first 3,120 people on a specific growth track in Acts 2:42. It says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Those are the four things that we continue steadfastly in. And if we'll stick with the Word of God, the apostles' teachings specifically, we will grow. If we learn how to fellowship with people that are believers. You know, if I could encourage you in anything, get around people that believe and quit hanging out with people who unbelieve. Amen. I fellowshiped for years with unbelievers. I'm talking about people in the church that didn't believe anything. And it wasn't working. It wasn't producing anything in my life. But when I started fellowshipping with people that believed in the supernatural power of God, believed in God caring, believed in the love of God, believed in how God longs to invade our lives in a supernatural way, I begin to see change in my life and growth in my life. We need to learn to break bread together, which includes the Lord's Supper, and understand covenant. And this thing, prayer, I promise you, is affected by those other three. That when I begin to pray in line with the apostles' doctrine, I begin to see change. When I begin to pray and find people to fellowship with me and agree with me in prayer, I begin to see change. And when I begin to understand covenant with God, that God relates to me on the basis of covenant, not my feelings. He relates to me in covenant, a communion meal. Then I begin to have faith beyond my feelings, faith beyond my senses, that God is true to His covenant, to His word. So prayer is profoundly affected by those other three elements that we've gone over. Again, I didn't want to get into a series, but I was so encouraged with the response that I wanted to just pick this up where I left off and at least lay the foundation for prayer in your life and some basics about prayer and the purpose of prayer. And this will encourage you. If you'll just hear this with your whole heart, if you already know it, it's going to affirm you and encourage you and equip you to help teach other people to pray. If you don't know these things, you need to get around people that know how to pray, what to pray, when to pray, where to pray, why to pray, and a way to pray that makes a difference. Because just praying is not going to get things done in your life. You have to learn to pray right. You have to pray the way God has ordained and laid down the principles of prayer in order to get the God results that we desire. One of the first things I had to learn that I didn't know is I had to approach the subject of prayer based on God's terms, not my terms. I was praying, supposedly, on my terms, trying to get God to respond to me versus being taught prayer from God's perspective and on God's terms, and seeing God then results. I really thought that I had to beg God. I had to con God, and I'm embarrassed. I've never shared all the things I thought. It's embarrassing. And I just can't believe, looking back, I used to think like that. I thought prayer, again, was me trying to convince God that I need this and he needs to come around to my thinking. That's pretty dumb. And I know you would never think anything like that. And I thought prayer was like this tug of war between me and God. And if I just cry long enough, if I just beg long enough, if I just convince him how important this is and that I deserve it, or on and on I could go with just crazy stuff, and I wasn't getting any response or any answers. And it was like this tug of war again. I thought I had to wear God down, kind of like a parent. Do y'all remember having a parent? No, y'all don't remember? Some of you didn't know you had a parent. You had a parent. And if you'll think back, you would try to wear them down to get what you wanted. And if you cried long enough, if you begged long enough, in some homes, if you pitch a demonic fit, just fall on the floor, do a 360, foam at the mouth, the parent will go, okay, especially in Walmart. Walmart is where you have the demonic attack, the demonic effect. And the parent will collapse. The parent will change. The parent will go, okay, get out of the floor. My kids did that one time. And I'm not teaching on that. Let it go, Dwayne. I thought God was that way, though. That we can wear him down in prayer and get what we want. And I discovered that having a beard is not always a blessing. Well, that was terrible, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get back to the Word of God before I lose the whole crowd. Number one, basic of prayer. Number one, we cannot approach the subject of prayer on our terms. While it's not rocket science, and I don't want to overwhelm anybody that's new to the Lord, or maybe you've never been taught to pray again, it's not rocket science, but there are some things that you need some knowledge about concerning prayer and that I needed, and some understanding about prayer. Because again, I prayed for 15 years and nothing happened. And that can discourage you. It can dishearten you. It could actually cause you to lose faith in prayer, and you begin to waver and wonder, well, what does it matter? If I prayed for 15 years, haven't seen one prayer answered, why pray? Now, it is amazing what I see as a result of prayer in my life, but it was because I got some basic understanding and began to pray the way God taught us to pray. I got some knowledge and some understanding. Number two, the second thing concerning the basics of prayer is that not all prayer is just prayer. Now, I want you to think with me for a minute and what I mean by that. Not all prayer is just prayer. There are rules that govern prayer. There's different kinds of prayer. There's different ways to pray concerning different situations. And I grew up in a religious system, where I'd go to somebody with a problem, and here's what they'd say: just pray, brother. So I'd go back and just pray, and nothing would happen. So I'd go back to get help again, and they'd say, well, just pray a little harder. So I'd go, it was stupid. What I was doing, just going around and around the mountain, just praying. And of course, I was a part of a circle where we had a term, and I'm not being critical. I actually know now what they probably meant, but I know what people thought and what they heard. But we would hear things like, well, brother, you just got to pray through. Just pray through. Well, pray through what? I found out 15 years later what I had to pray through was my dumb head. What I had to pray through was all this ignorance about just praying, and it doesn't matter how you pray. It doesn't matter the way you pray. Just pray. It does matter, and it does make a difference, and it did make a difference. See, not all sports are sports. Now, guys, listen up. This will help you. Not all sports is just sports. There is baseball, and that's a sport. There's football, and that's a sport. There's tennis, and that's a sport. And not all sports are sports. They all have different rules that govern that specific sport, that you can't mix those rules up with another sport. You can't play football with baseball rules and win. If you play football with baseball rules, you'll be called the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, come on.
If you don't play according to the rules and you don't know the basic principles of that game and how that game functions and how that game works, you're not going to win. So if you're just praying and just saying anything and calling it prayer, you're not going to see things change. You have to learn these different kinds of prayers and these different principles and things that govern different kinds of prayer. And that's number three. Number three is that there are rules or governing principles of prayer. There's different kinds of prayers, and these are just a few I mentioned to make the point. Again, years ago, I taught on most of these, and I need to teach again on the ones I didn't teach on, but there's all these different kinds of prayers in the Bible, and there's different principles, governing principles that regulate, if you will, that kind of prayer and how that prayer works. And how you apply that prayer to a specific need makes all the difference in the world. There's the prayer of agreement that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 18. That we need to learn how to get together and pray the prayer of agreement. And one of the rules to the prayer of agreement is that we agree. There are people all the time that ask me to agree with them in prayer, but they're not agreeing with me. They're just hoping. I'm not hoping, I'm believing. You got to believe with me. We got to agree on the same answer. We got to agree. Agree means harmonize. Agree means make a symphony. We got to pray the same thing and say the same thing, and we'll get the same results. It'll work. The prayer of agreement changed my life and has changed my ministry, and I am constantly finding people to agree with me. And sometimes it's hard to find somebody to really agree with me. They'll say they pray for you, but they don't agree with the prayer you're praying. And there's governing principles. Intercessory prayer, there's a difference between the New Covenant intercessory and Old Covenant intercessory prayer. And intercessory prayer is praying for other people, and there's a different way to do that than these other kinds of prayer. I'd never even heard of this till 1980, the prayer of faith. That there is a prayer of faith, and it is how we get our needs met. It's how we get healed. It's how we get our bills paid. It's how we see change and provisions that God's grace has provided come into the natural world is through this prayer of faith. And there's a specific way to pray the prayer of faith that is different, for instance, than the prayer of dedication. The prayer of dedication and consecration many times is when I don't know the will of God. I can't even pray the prayer of faith till I know the will of God, because it's rooted in God's will. Well, there's some things in my life I don't know what God's will is. It's not specifically written down for me as a provision. Like where to live. You can't find a scripture on where to live. I mean, if the Holy Ghost would have wanted you to live in a certain place, he would have wrote it down and it would have been Durant, Oklahoma. Amen. Because we know that's where God lives. That's where God reigns now. Okay, if you're not going to help me, how about those of you from Texas? Hallelujah. Is that where God would? I can hear them all the way across the border. Bottom line is, many times I have to pray this prayer of dedication, and it's a different kind of prayer, to the will of God. I have to trust God to find his will, to hear his will, et cetera, et cetera. It's a different kind of prayer. Fasting and prayer. Man, I can't tell you how much confusion I grew up under over this issue of fasting and prayer. That people would literally fast to get God to speak to them. They would fast to get God to change something, to get God to move. They thought fasting and prayer would change God, when it's the opposite in the scriptures, that fasting and prayer isn't to change God. Fasting and prayer is to change me, to position me to be able to hear what God is already saying. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to me. But let's be honest. Am I the only one that's carnal at times? Eight of you? Nine, ten? That's awesome. There's just sometimes I'm carnal. I can't hear what he's saying. There's so much noise. Have you figured out we live in a loud world now? Many voices in the world, and none of them are without significance, the Bible says. We've got the voice of the devil ringing. We got the voice of our own minds and our past in our heads. We've got all this noise of traffic and planes and just racket. And sometimes you have to get away. And when you fast, you're disciplining your body. You're telling your body and bringing your body under subjection to your spirit so that you can hear again the voice of God, because it's a still small voice. Or God is moving, God is working, but sometimes we can't see it. And so fasting and prayer just simply positions us to be able to see what God's already doing and agree now with God and hook up, or to hear what God is saying to us. You know, if you're fixing to get married, you need to understand fasting and prayer. I mean, you're going to have to hear God. Can I get a witness? And instead of your flesh. And so that's a powerful prayer. Praying in the Spirit is a whole different kind of prayer, and different kind of prayer that produces a different results than these other kinds of prayers. Public prayers. Here's where I'm a little weak, and there's a reason for that. I'm not justifying it. I need to get better. But I just despise religion. And I know that confuses people. It freaks people out when I say it to this day. But I just literally loathe religion. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about pure Christianity. I'm talking about people that are just going through the motions, that are hypocrites, and they know they're hypocrites. I'm talking about people saying one thing with no intent of doing what they're saying, or they're covering stuff up constantly and hiding it to impress people, and they just do religious stuff to be seen of men. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want nothing to do with that. And so I had a problem with a lot of public prayers because Jesus said, do not pray with vain repetitions in Matthew chapter 6. And so like the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, we teach it to the children in the school. We certainly taught it to our children. And you need to learn the Lord's Prayer as a model prayer. But listen, if we're praying the Lord's Prayer publicly, which would be good, but if we're all just doing it and going through it and our heart's not in it, that's vain repetition. The Apostles' Creed is a powerful prayer, and it was a public prayer for hundreds of years. And in some of our denominations today, they will read and pray the Apostles' Creed, and that can be very healthy because the Apostles' Creed is the foundational truths of our faith. And so for young people coming up, hearing the Apostles' Creed would be very healthy and beneficial. But I lean away from that because I don't want to just go through the motion and have our prayer book and we're just praying, saying words, and our heart is far from God. So I'm not justifying not doing it. I'm saying this is a weakness I have and a fear I have. I would never want us just to become religious and just praying to pray instead of praying from our heart, praying like we mean it. Public prayers can be powerful if they come from our heart, though. And we need to get better. I need to get better. Number four, all prayer involves faith and God's word. This is what changed in my life. When I begin to pray in faith, and know what that means, I saw things change. When I begin to pray according to the word of God, that's when stuff started happening. It started happening fast. And it's why I'm so passionate about it to this day, is because you go 15 years and nothing happened. And then you pray God's word and boom, something happens and you know it's God. It will fire you up. And I'm still fired up. Every time I see a manifestation to a prayer, it makes this stuff real to me. I don't want to become religious even as a pastor and I'm just going through the motions and praying for people, not expecting anything. Man, when I pray for you, I expect heaven and hell to move and something to happen and change to come, or I'm not going to pray. And if we don't see something happen, we should be committed enough to this thing called prayer that we pray about praying. Do you really receive that? Do you hear what I'm saying? Many times I pray about my praying. What in the world? You're confusing me. I pray about the way I'm praying. I pray about how I'm praying. I pray about what do I need to pray and how do I need to pray. And is there something I need to adjust in my prayer to see change? Because we've got to see our prayers answered and we've got to see the manifestation of prayers if our children are going to be saved from an implosion, saints, in our country. We've got to believe prayer can make a difference. And we got to do it, and we got to do it right. And so we need to learn to pray according to the word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word is where our faith comes from. God's word is the source of your faith. If you say you have faith for something and you don't know God's word, it's not Bible faith. Faith is rooted in something of substance. Faith is rooted. Faith isn't something I just make up. Well, I just believe, and that's faith. No, faith has to be rooted in the word of God. And we all constantly need more faith. Well, how do we get it? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by begging God. It doesn't come from praying for it. It comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. What does God's word say? And when you know by revelation what God's word says, faith is the byproduct of that. And to have your prayers answered. See, I don't want us just praying. I want us to pray and get answers. We have to have faith. And faith has to be mixed with the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is. Everybody say, now faith is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let's stay here for a minute, guys. The evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. One more time. Everybody say, now faith is. It didn't say yesterday faith was. And it didn't say tomorrow faith will be. It said now faith is. Faith is now, or it's not faith. Faith is now, or it's not faith. This is going to be important in a minute. Hope is tomorrow. And there's nothing wrong with hope. You have to have hope because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So hope is important, but most people live their whole life and their prayer life is surrounded more by hope. I hope it comes to pass. I hope it happens. I ask and I hope something happens. That's not faith. Faith is now, and faith has substance to it, and faith has evidence to it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Listen to me. Well, let me read it to you to convince you. By it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 2. Verse 3 says that through faith we understand. Through what? Now we're going to understand something because we have faith in God, okay? Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that's heavy. That's not saying God made everything out of nothing. It's saying God didn't have something to make something. See, you and I can't make nothing out of nothing. We have to have something to make something. Everybody okay? You can't create anything out of just nothing. You have to have something to create something. Now, we do have the image of God in us and we can create, but we have to start with something. God didn't have anything, substance-wise, to create the universe, to create the worlds. What did he have? He had faith. And what was the source of his faith? His word. When he said it, the word, and we understand by faith, the worlds were created by the word of God. There was nothing. And God said, let there be a universe. And it was, boom, a universe. Let there be a sun, and boom, there's this ball of fire that you can't fathom the heat of it. You can't imagine the power of this little thing called the sun. And where did it come from? Came out of God's faith. What was the substance of his faith? His word. His word. So faith has substance and faith has evidence. But it's the substance of what I'm hoping for and the evidence of something I can't see. You with me so far? So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Anything you could ever hope for, there's substance to it. It's in this book. God has made available in Jesus and promised you anything you have need of. He's given you a promise. And this is the substance of my faith. It's rooted in the word of God. This is the evidence of stuff I can't see yet. Well, I believe so-and-so. Well, Show me some evidence. Well, you ain't gonna like what I have, but here it is right here. Amen. What's your evidence that your health care is gonna be there for your kids? You must have put faith in a man, the word of a man. And you think I'm crazy when I come along and say, I've got total confidence and faith in the word of God Almighty, who it's impossible to lie, etc., etc., etc. So see, faith isn't just me imagining things. Faith isn't me pretending. It's not faith for me to say, at midnight tonight, this building is going to collapse. I can't just believe that. I can't just make that up. But if God spoke to me a word and God told me the building is going to collapse, then I'm out of here. Because I believe. Well, what's the substance? What's your evidence? What's the weather report? I don't have any idea. But God said it's going to collapse at midnight. I'm out of here. I believe and have substance to things hoped for, and evidence. My faith is evidence. It's rooted in the evidence of what God has said, whether it be out of this book or a rhema, a direct word to me. I can't have faith beyond what the Word of God says. Look at verse 6 of that same chapter, one of my favorite personal passages with my relationship with God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's not hard to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Some people try to please God without faith and say it's hard, but try a little harder. It's not hard to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. So what pleases God? I'm setting you up, so I want you to get it. What pleases God? All right, well, what is faith? For he that cometh to God, so you're coming to God, that's called prayer. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Every time I pray, I believe God is. You know, I'm not talking to an imaginary friend and calling it prayer. I'm not talking to myself. I am talking to God. I have a relationship with God in this man, Jesus, and I'm fellowshipping with him in prayer. I'm talking to him. I believe he is. And I believe he's a rewarder. I believe he wants to answer my prayer. I believe he's eager to answer my prayer. I believe he's not holding out on me. I believe he knows what I have need of before I ask. But told me to ask. So I'm asking. He told me to seek, so I'm seeking. He told me to knock, so I'm knocking. And he told me everybody that asks receives. Everybody that knocks, the door will be open to him. And everybody that seeks will find. How are we going to explain all that away? I'm not going to explain it away. I'm going to believe it. That when I ask, I receive. And when I knock, I don't care what it looks like. That door's opening. And when I seek, I don't care how I feel. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to find. Is the attitude of prayer, of confidence in God, of faith in God. It is my faith that pleases God. God is pleased, listen, when I believe something according to his word and can't see it. I'm going to say it again. God is pleased. God gets excited. God kind of just, oh, I like that. I like that. That pleases me that I believe you, God, and I don't feel it. And I believe you, God, and I can't see it yet. And I believe you based on your word, God, your character. You cannot lie. This word is true, forever settled in heaven and earth. And you've exalted your word, oh God, above your name. I just believe I have it. I believe it's mine. Thank you, God. I just believe. What's your evidence? The word of God. What's your substance? The word of God. Watch this. When it manifests, I don't need any faith anymore because I see it now. And so now I can't please God anymore. What a bummer. When my prayer manifests, I can't please God anymore. So now I got to start believing again in something I can't see. Because I want to please God. I can't please God when I see the answer to my prayer manifest. Because now I see it. It doesn't take any faith. Jesus is raised from the dead, told those precious 12. Boy, that was faith. I did good there. Told those sweet men, I'm going to die. On the third day, I'm going to be raised from the dead, and I'm going to come back to you and talk to you. He dies, none of them believe. And one of the ladies had seen the Lord and runs back and tells the disciples, and Thomas said, "I will not believe." I just know it sounded something like that. I've heard these people. "I will not believe until I put my finger in the hole of his hand," the nail prints, "and until I can put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Jesus manifested a day or two later, and the first thing he said is, "Thomas, where are you at? Come here." I love that. That means the Lord heard that. That means the Lord hears our unbelief and he hears our belief. Amen. He said, "Come here, Thomas. Put your hand in the, your finger in the holes. Put your hand in my side and don't be faithless." And then Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, said, "Blessed is he that believes and has not seen." You're not a kook like religion will accuse you of being. You're not a kook like the world will accuse you of being if you believe in stuff you can't see. Everybody believes in stuff they can't see. Every religious nut in this town that has persecuted me for all these years believes in stuff they can't see. We all, even lost people, believe in stuff they can't see. How many of you, for instance, believe there's a heaven? Have you seen it? What's your evidence? What's your substance? Prove it to me. How many of you saw Jesus die on the cross? You saw it. You saw him with his last breath. You saw him taken down. You saw him put in the tomb. You saw him raised. You saw him ascend. How many of you saw that? None of you saw that. Do you believe it? How many of you saw Jesus go into heaven, into a room in which there's a mercy seat, and sprinkle his very blood on that mercy seat for the remission of all of your sins? You haven't seen that. Do you believe that? Everybody that's persecuted me all these years for believing stuff I can't see believes that, and they haven't seen it. Again, lost people believe things. You were created to believe things you can't see. You ask a lost person, "You believe in an atom? Do you believe in an atom?" "Well, yeah." "Well, have you ever seen one?" "No." Ask a lost person, "You believe in radio signals and that there's radio signals in this room and they're going through the walls?" "And yeah." "You ever seen them?" "No." We all believe in stuff. "You believe in global warming?" The evidence has shown that the temperature and the average temperature has gone down the past 10 years. They don't even have natural evidence, and they believe in stuff they can't see. We'll have the coldest winter in the history of the world, and everybody's shivering going, "What happened to that global warming?" People believe stuff all the time that they haven't seen and don't have any evidence, concrete evidence. And yet you're considered a kook by your family because you believe in stuff you can't see. You need to believe the Word of God no matter what you feel. You need to believe the Word of God no matter what you see. You need to believe the Word of God no matter what your brain is telling you. You need to put your confidence in the Word of God. And you'll start to see your prayers manifest. In 1 John chapter 5, this was the first scripture that changed my prayer life and learning to mix faith with what I prayed and the Word of God and seeing things change. "These things have I written unto you." This is John speaking. "These things have I written unto you." What are the things written? The Word of God. Right? "These things have I written unto you," the Word of God, "that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Let's stay there for just a minute. "These things have I written unto you," the Word of God, "that you may believe and that you might know you have eternal life." How do I know I'm saved? I don't always feel saved. I don't always look at my life and go, "Boy, I know for sure I'm a child of God." No, there's things I've done and said and messed up thinking and wavered. Wait a second. Man, how could I think like that? Or how could I act like that? Or how could I treat somebody like that? So how do I know I'm saved? Because of the things written. God said, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what's your evidence? The Word of God. What's your substance? The Word of God. God said that. God said if we believe in our heart that He raised Jesus from the dead and we confess Him as Lord with our mouth, we shall be saved. We're saved, and we're saved now, and we know we're saved, not by our feelings, not by how we always act, but by the authority of God Almighty's Word. Amen or oh me. Now, here's where it gets exciting for prayer. And this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. Man, I need to hurry, but how could I go to church for 15 years and never be around somebody when they prayed that had confidence? You know, most of the people that prayed, I mean, I was more depressed after they got through praying than before I started praying. And I don't want to even say the prayers because it'll have to be explained. And where's the confidence? There's some confidence here. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, God, that if we ask anything according to His will, and His Word is His will, whatever God has said in His Word, that's His will. Whatever promise He's made you for your family, for your children, for your finances, for your health, those promises are His will for your life. If we ask anything according to His will or His Word, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know we have the petition that we desire of Him. Now, I don't want to overwhelm anybody, and I don't want you to think it's too hard. But you've got to get this eventually. You got to get in a life group. You got to get around some people that love you and humble yourself. Don't be embarrassed like we talked about last week, and let's learn to start praying. Because that said, if I ask anything according to God's will or His Word, that is His will, then I know He hears me. And if I know He hears me, I know I have the petition I desire of Him. Now, when do I know I have it? When I ask. When I ask. Not when I see it. Not when it manifests. But when I ask according to His will, I know I have it. Not I'm going to get it. I have it. How do I have it? By faith. Well, what's your evidence? The Word of God. And now you stand. And you pray without ceasing. Amen. Meaning you don't let go. You don't give up. You don't give in. You don't give out. Mark 11:24 says it perfectly, Jesus' teaching. He said, verily I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Now, here was the paradigm shift for me. It was huge. When do I believe I receive? And I shouldn't open it up because I don't want to embarrass anybody if you missed the answer. When do I believe I receive? I believe I receive and I have it when I pray, not when I see it. I believe it first, I receive it first, I have it by faith in God's Word, and now it may take a minute, it may take an hour, it may take a week, it may take a month, it may take a year, but my shall have is coming because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Boy, y'all are just doing so good. You're kind of disarming me. I don't even know what to say when you respond like that. It's like, man, if you really see that, you got to help me help other people pray like that. You got to help me teach other people to pray and believe you receive when you pray. Because here's what I would do. Here's the mistake I made for years. I would pray, and then I wouldn't believe I received until I saw it. And I never saw it. Then I started believing I received when I prayed, and I began to see it. In other words, I used to believe I'll believe it when I see it instead of I believe it when I ask. And it made all the difference in the world. That one simple principle changed everything. Because see, when you pray, every time you pray, you're standing on the shore of I believe I receive, according to the word of God, the character of God. He's exalted that word above his name. If I know what that says, and I haven't messed it up or taken it out of context, and it's a promise of God, and I mix faith with it, it's mine. Father, thank you for that promise in my life. I believe I receive. I'm standing on the shore of I believe I receive. There is a gulf between the shore of I believe I receive and the shore of I shall have. And that gulf and that gap, nobody can explain to you. It may take a minute, but it's a gap. Somebody said one time, well, I prayed and God answered immediately. Did it take a second? Well, yeah. Then it took time. Sometimes it's a second. Sometimes it's a minute. Sometimes it's a day. There have been things I've had to pray and stand for a year. But see, I believed I received the minute I prayed. And so I'm seeing my shall haves constantly. I'm constantly getting to the shore of I shall have, because on the shore of I believe I receive, I mixed faith with the promise of God. And that's just huge in people's lives. Philippians chapter 4, this would transform our church. If everybody would believe this right here and pray with me. He says, be careful or don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, and supplication means petitions. You're petitioning God. You're making a request of something you need in your life. With what? Let your request be made known unto God. Notice that all prayer and supplication, petitioning God for anything, we should at the end of the prayer give thanks. Now, why are we giving thanks? Because we believe he heard us. And if we believe he heard us, we believe we already have it. So what are you going to do? Say thank you. That's why our worship services, I'm not being critical. I love the worship. We're doing good. But it should be so explosive in here. Why should it be explosive in here? Because all of us are praying about something during the week, and we got a lot to be thankful for. Yeah, but my prayer hadn't manifest. Well, do you believe you received when you prayed? Yeah. Then what should we be doing? Giving thanks. So let's give thanks together. Let's just give God thanks. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We love you. You are faithful. I don't know why my shall have is delayed, but I believe I receive. And I shall have. So thank you, God. Thank you, God, for every prayer I've ever prayed manifesting, because I'm mixing faith with it. And if I believe you heard me, I'm thankful. And if I believe I already have it, I'm thankful. And so thank you, God. And so if you've prayed this week, you have a lot to be thanking God for. Let's look at the purposes of prayer here in closing and just put it all together. All the purposes of prayer, at least a few that have made a difference in my life. Number one, prayer is for fellowship and relationship with God. The reason Jesus said God knows what you have need of before you ask, but ask anyway, is God is as good as any parent. We don't just give our kids stuff and not have a relationship with them. We don't just give them stuff and not teach them how to handle it and how to maintain it and how to be a blessing to others with it. Are you still out there? See, God doesn't just want to meet your need. He wants to get to know you better. He doesn't want to just answer your prayer. He wants to talk with you. And he wants to teach you things, and he wants to show you things. It's just powerful what's happened in my life. That I used to dread praying, and I hate to admit that, but it was like work or something. I had a bad attitude about it. And now I pray all the time because it's relationship with God, fellowship with God. Number two, prayer changes us and circumstances. Quit praying to change God. Get it straight. The guy is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just... And you don't have to worry about him and try to fix him or convince him of anything or change him. Spend time with him and watch him change you. Amen. And spend time with him trusting him and watch him change your world. Number three, prayer is the avenue by which God has ordained. I didn't make this up. God ordained through prayer for us to receive our provisions provided by Jesus. Jesus has already healed us. He's already prospered us. He's already blessed our homes and our families. He's already called us great in the kingdom. And on I could go with all the grace of God that just is pressing on us. Well, God is ordained through prayer. That's where we mix faith with the grace of God and receive the provisions. And so, man, prayer is exciting and fun, and we need to be praying for each other. Number five, prayer Number five, I don't want any more donuts up there in that sound room. There is no number five. My bad. The donuts are on me. I'm so sorry. I thought there were five. It's James chapter five. Oh, man. Pulling hair out of my mouth. Pulling my foot out of my mouth. I need to pray. Y'all need to pray for me. Amen. James chapter 5, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing a psalm. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, the prayer of what? Not the prayer of doubt and unbelief, not the prayer of begging, not the prayer of you never know what God's going to do. The prayer of faith shall, not might, not maybe, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And even if he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. Thank you, Jesus. And confess your faults. You got to see that happen right before your very eyes. Confess your faults. We mess up. Can I get a witness? I need a strong witness today. We mess up, but we fess up. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You're a righteous man if you're born again. Our prayers avail much. We can make a difference in our culture. We can make a difference in our schools. We can make a difference in this country. We can see things change if we will pray. If we'll really pray. Elijah was a man subject of like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3.5 years. And then he prayed that it would rain, or he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Why did he give us that? Elijah had weaknesses just like you and I have. Elijah was a man just like you and I are. And yet he prayed, and it touched a nation. He prayed, and it worked. Wow. I just want to close with, this is something I want to see at all of our locations. I want to see more life group classes on how to pray, what to pray, when to pray, where to pray, the way to pray. And we're constantly being taught these things, not because we're dumb and ignorant, but because we really want to pray effectually and we want to help one another. And so I want to see life groups, more life groups that are prayer groups that are teaching simple truths about prayer. And everybody not being intimidated by this subject of prayer. We need the little kids learning to pray early. We need our children's church. I need to request that publicly, that I'd like to see our children's church break these things down for our little kids, and because they're not inhibited like you and I. They haven't failed enough to doubt it. They haven't had enough relatives saying, "Well, that stuff don't work." We need to teach them early to pray simple prayers of faith. Amen. Amen. Man, did you get anything out of this? That's awesome stuff. Man, I love you. And I want to, on our end, do better of praying for you and not just be religious about it. I want to do better as a church, teaching. Not just me. I can't teach on this every week. But man, we need to be hearing about it every week. And we need to be doing it every week. Amen. I'm going to dismiss the locations.
For additional free CDs or a catalog of all our teaching messages, please contact Dwayne Sheriff Ministries, Post Office Box 427, Durant, Oklahoma 74701, or call us at 580-920-1791. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.